Deliver, I'd watch at 6:30 p.m. So, okay. My pleasure to start the meeting. Welcome everyone to this first resources scrutiny face-to-face meeting for some time. I've almost forgotten some of your faces. It's just as difficult with masks on as well. I can barely recognise Councillor Kemp with a mask on. But there we are. So, welcome. And we've got a reasonable agenda. We'll see how we go with it. To begin with, though, I think we need to look at any apologies for absence. Minutes. Do you all agree the minutes of the 11th February 21?
Yes.
Yep. Published in Digest number 274, which no doubt be devoured. Apologies then.
Yes, certainly. I've got an apologies from Councillor Godfrey, who's subbed this evening by Councillor Kemp, Councillor Roycroft, who's substituted by Councillor Cross, and from Councillor Dodson, and Councillor James Nixon is going to be arriving late.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great, thanks very much indeed. Public
Chairman, do you mind if I just give you the reason that Councillor Dodson is not here?
I think I know, but others in the committee may value it.
Yeah, he's very uncomfortable at face-to-face meetings.
Yeah.
And I sympathise with him, and I feel the same myself. Yeah. I mean, the government's guidance is we should have no more than 6 people in the room, and we've got a lot more than that, and we don't have ventilation. Yeah. We've all walked up from the car park, probably put our hands on that handrail, all manner of things like that. And here we are with, you know, men, women of an age where we are vulnerable. I think it's terribly wrong of the government not to allow us to meet over the internet. Coupled with that, of course, over the last 2 weeks, the infection rate has gone from 2,000 a day to over 6,000 a day. The number of people on ventilator beds, after months of coming down to about 120, has now gone up to 148 from 120 just a week ago. And you do not want to be on a ventilator bed. I mean, I've told people before, a friend of mine was in a forced coma, the throat slit and the tube put in. For 3 weeks he was on that. He's lucky to be alive. Non-smoker, non-drinker, fit as a fiddle, 56 years of age, lucky to be alive. Mm. This is a terrible disease, and I know we've all had vaccinations and things are improving, but I do think it's wrong that we've been forced, and I mean forced, because if we don't attend, we lose our right to be a councillor, so we're forced to meet like this, and I think it's terribly wrong. Furthermore, Chairman, this is a scrutiny committee meeting, and my understanding is that we don't actually make decisions, and it's the decision making that could be called into question. All we can do here is refer something back to the executive, in which case I think we're perfectly entitled to hold these meetings over the internet.
That's an interesting point. Can I say I agree with you 100%, Councillor. You've expressed exactly my feelings. I think there's a certain amount of hypocrisy going on in central government, because In the House of Commons, in the House of Lords, they're all spaced out very carefully. Most MPs are on television, on Zoom or whatever, and select committees the same, and yet they expect us to huddle together in this way. So I absolutely agree with you. Is there some way we can protest?
The Cabinet will see this Thursday a response that's been prepared by the legal team to the consultation by the government on this issue. Yeah. But I think it's urgent and we need to do something quickly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is the Cabinet or the leader of the council minded to do something quickly?
I sent an email to the Chief Executive, to the leader, and to Andrew, and to the legal officer yesterday, broadly saying what I said a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we will agree to do something on Thursday.
So do I. I hope we do, yeah. And I hope that it gets a decent result as well, a positive result. Thank you very much, Councillor Nixon. We had your apology for lateness, so we will. But thank you for that, Councillor Smith. I'm sure a lot of members would feel the same way.
Well, we're in a similar position as borough councillors, because we have parish councillors to go to, and they're even smaller the rooms are, and it's very uncomfortable. If you've got a long, like these rooms and parishes, you can't hear one right down the far end of the room, because they're all spaced around the walls, virtually. It's ridiculous.
I don't think it's been thought through.
No, certainly
it
hasn't been thought through.
Yes, Ian, yes.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just to clarify what Councillor Smith has said, the government has made a call for evidence, closing date on the 17th of June. Mm-hmm. So we do intend for this council to respond to that call for evidence and whether they should reintroduce legislation to allow remote meetings. In the meantime, the courts are quite clear that any official meeting held has to have a physical location. But that's not to say we can't do informal meetings if it's appropriate, and that's something we'll probably discuss and we'll see how appropriate it is.
Okay, well I do hope we can get some sense into what is a nonsensical situation, which, as I said earlier, just doesn't seem to have been thought through.
If I could just add, Chairman, I've got some figures from today. I usually log these figures weekly. But, I mean, we know that there's a problem at Leek.
Mm.
The Moorlands was down to an average of 5 cases per 100,000. Today, it's 95.
Mm.
I also logged Telford, because I live near there. That was down to 10, and it's now 44.
So you can see
Stafford is actually quite good at the moment. Yeah. It's not really gone up. It was down to 11, 5 it went down to. It's 9.5 today. Litchfield was down to 7.6, now to 25. So it's the Moorlands.
Mm-hmm.
East Staffs is starting to go up again.
Yeah.
And South Staffs and Stafford are about the only two which are static.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, overall, the trend seems to be up, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, okay, members. Well, I'm sure you all agree with Councillor Smith. And I'm very glad that we are making a response to this consultation. I hope we're successful. And I hope other authorities are doing the same thing as well. Okay, so public question time?
That's now.
No. Council session?
That's now.
Called in items?
That's now.
And members items?
And there are none.
Good, so we're on to number 7 now. Officers report 7A, the recovery programme update. And Tracy, you're going to lead on that, aren't you?
Yes, thank
over
you.
Over to you, then.
Thank you. So this report sets out the progress that we've made in Q4 for the recovery programme that we're undergoing at the moment. And I've reported previously that there's 4 work streams associated with the recovery programme, and that's economic recovery, community recovery, organisation recovery, and financial recovery. I think that this needs to be seen in the context that we were going through another lockdown period, so having to provide a huge amount of support for the response phase of the pandemic. So some work has progressed, but others hasn't, unfortunately. But I think that, you know, it's testament to the officers that we have working for us. You know, for the amount of work that's been carried out during that quarter. So I reported previously about the business grants, and you'll see from the report that we've managed to distribute more than 35 million. We've supported over 7,000 residents, and we continue to do that in Q4 for the clinically extremely vulnerable. So the Borough Council acted as an anchor organisation for Stafford Borough. And during Q4, we had approximately 210 referrals on our spreadsheets that we had to contact and try and signpost to other help and support. My team were responsible for conducting the regular welfare calls to over 60 people, and we've been able to make nearly 30 referrals into the MPFT Staying Well service, and this is a service that helps people over 55 with frailty issues. So we have some really, really good outcomes from that. So we're continuing with that at the moment until we know the outcome of whether lockdown restrictions are going to ease or not. In terms of economic recovery, so the focus has been around Stafford Town Centre transformation, and this incorporates the Future High Streets fund that we were successful in achieving, which is really good news for the borough. Organisation recovery, so over the past quarter we've been focusing on making sure that we keep all of the staff groups safe, and those staff groups that have had to be in at the Civic, making sure that they're safe and working in a COVID safe way. Currently we're running a series of meetings with senior managers to look at what the business needs are going forward, because obviously we've all been working in a remote way now, and the majority of staff are very comfortable with that, and I think that when you see the performance we've actually delivered over and above during the past 12 months. Financial recovery, so this is still a challenge because it's still difficult to determine what the ongoing impact of COVID-19 is. So this is currently being monitored through the recovery group. So that's it in a nutshell. Happy to take questions if members have any questions.
Thanks very much indeed, Tracy. Before I open it up for discussion, we've seen both from the written report and Tracy's verbal summary of things, the immense amount of work which has continued to be done by staff at the Borough Council at all levels. And I think we should, let them know how grateful we are and give them our grateful thanks for the immense amount of work, almost heroic, that they've done over this period. Up to and including up to the present as well. It's up to quarter four, it's also this financial year as well, up to date. There's been a hell of a lot of work being done, additional work being done by so many employees, and I'd also include that councillors as well. Because councillors have also been out there doing a lot of work one way or the other. So my thanks, and on behalf of the committee, our thanks to everyone on the Borough Council who's worked so hard and with so much commitment. Thank goodness for public service ethos, I say, but who worked so hard over this whole pandemic period. And I'm sure that will continue while we need that work to be done. So thank you very much. Now, members, I'm going to open it up now. And I'll take it page by page. We've page four to begin with. Anything on page four? Page five,
Chairman.
Councillor Ken.
Paragraph 5.3 is the economic recovery work stream. I'm very pleased to see the projects that are going on, the long-term recovery, like the town centre and the future high streets and the gateway and the garden set. Not the garden centre, it's the garden community of Mayfield. What I would like to ask that group to have a look at is the Guildhall Mall. The fact that is the rumours, and I believe it is now true because I asked the question of officers, that it's closing down, and there's a number of shops who have been asked to leave, their leases are up, and some of them are very well established and well working shops. For example, the one that everybody loves is the card shop. And I have a young friend who works at a hairdresser's in there, and I know that every time I pass through they seem to be working quite hard. So I am concerned about that and ask that this group, has a look to see what they can do about the situation. I know that they will help the businesses that are in there if they want to relocate somewhere else. But I do feel that if the Guildhall Mall closes down, it will become a real white elephant in the centre of town.
Yeah, through you, Chair, I think the economic regeneration team are currently working with the businesses, as you've alluded to, Councillor Kemp, and we will continue to do that. but I will take that back and ask them to look at that problem.
Okay, thanks very much indeed. Anything else on that page, members? Page 5? Page 6? Page 7? Well, no, there's this implication. 7, that's it. That's that item. So, Tracy, thank you for introducing that and reminding us all of the immense amount of work being done by so many people in Borough County during this very difficult time, which is still with us, and who knows what's going to happen in the future. Okay, members, then we come on to our quarter four performance reporting. Now, just a reminder that this is quarter four of the last financial year, so it's January to March. We're now in June. So we've got a bit of catching up to do on this, but that'll happen later on. But meanwhile, remember that it's January to March, and there could have been significant changes from April, May to where we are now. So just bear that in mind with any comments and so on you have. So, Tracy, are you going to introduce it, or?
I am the chair, if that's
okay. Okay, over to you then.
Okay, so as the chair's alluded to, this is the performance reporting for quarter four. It's as set out. There's a couple of things that I'd just like to bring out that I've covered in the report. And the first one is around revenues and benefits team and the amazing amount of work that they have done in reducing their claim period from 71.25 days in quarter three to 17.18 days in quarter four. You know, they've also exceeded their targets in terms of processing new benefits as well. So I'd just like to highlight that, Chair, and just to outline the performance for the abandoned calls, which is reported at 37.7%. against a target of 5, and this was in the context of new chargeable garden waste scheme, new blue bag, and they were also providing support for COVID response in terms of grants, support for businesses, and also vulnerable residents as well. So the improvement report is set out on page 11, for the, 12 for those two indicators, Chair. Performance indicators are from page 11 and narrative reports from page 13. So again, happy to take questions.
Right. Okay, thanks very much, Tracy. Members, I'm going to take a page at a time. So page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11.
11, Chairman.
Councillor Ken.
And it's virtually what the officer has been talking about, the days taken to process the new claims. And I have to say, having read the problems of 94 days and then 71 days, and now they've got it down to 17.817, you know, we must congratulate Mr. Wolf and his team. Must have been quite. Must have been quite hard, because I know they're working from home, because I have actually walked through their department and it's empty. One person was sitting at the end and we said hello to each other before I went into the technical department. But I do feel, you know, that those figures reflect this pandemic. They reflect what's happened, and people and there's also the business about the telephone calls, you know, how they were abandoned and things like that. And I've had that experience of making a call here and not actually getting through. But the point about it is that this reflects what's happened in the council and how this virus has affected the council. And I think we should congratulate both departments on managing to get through it that way.
Thank you, Councillor. Yep, I think that's right. I think, actually, members, we know that things, it's almost Murphy's Law, if something can go wrong, it will. And things do go wrong in organisations for all sorts of reasons, external effects and all of external events and so on. The important thing is the management of that and how it's then brought back under control onto an even keel. And that's the real test of it all, and I think that's what we've seen. And that's why, you know, I would join with Councillor Kemp and in congratulating the department on actually pulling the thing together and getting it back onto an even keel. That's the important thing. Okay, so there we are. That's page 11, page 12, page 13, page 14. Sorry, Councillor Nixon, good to see you.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know if this is covered under section 3.1.2, but around the improvement of services. I just wondered how the planning department is coping with the strain of requests. I'm often inundated with queries where the time to respond to the constituents is somewhat delayed.
Through you, Chair, I understand that they're getting back on track. And they've got plans in place to improve that further.
And when you say back on track, what's the time scale to get back on track?
I haven't got that information to hand, but I'm more than happy to go back to quarantine and submit that to members if that's okay.
Could we have that information for all members of the committee? That would be really helpful for us. Yeah, thank you.
Yep,
thank you very much, Councillor Nixon. Thank you for that. Okay, now page 13, page 14, page 15, and that's the end of that report. Thank you very much, Tracy.
Thank you.
And now we come on to our complaints monitoring. Actually, before we start this, I actually have a complaint. About the complaints form, because I've recently, background, I'm supposed to be trying to put in a complaint to the borough on behalf of some residents in my ward. So I got onto the website, I thought, oh, I'll look at the complaints procedure. And then it said there's a form, I thought, oh good, I've got the form. And then I realised I couldn't manipulated, or I had to fill in page one before I could actually see what was on page two. So I didn't even know how many pages there were. It wasn't something you could just flick over. I couldn't print it. There was no way of printing the form out to get a hard copy. So I did complain about the form. And I understand that the IT people are now going to look at actually enabling you to look at the form a page at a time, and they're actually sending me a hard copy of the form through the post so I can have it. So it's not an electronic copy, it's a hard copy. So, you know, I know we're back to trolley buses or something, aren't we? So I'm looking forward to seeing this complete complaints form, hard copy of it, which I then will presumably have to photocopy so I can pass it on to the residents. Which seems a hell of a way of doing it, but I thought we had information technology. But there we are. That's just a rant on my part. But so Ian, you're going to take us through this, aren't you?
I don't mind. Andrew's done all the work. Would you prefer me to, Andrew?
Sorry.
I'll take you quickly through, and I'll need.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, sorry.
That's okay, Chairman. So this report really looks back at the complaints that we've received from a stage one to a stage two and three, and then on to the ombudsman throughout the last year. If we look at paragraph 5.1.4, it shows you that there was a slight increase of stage two complaints from four to six. But then on complaints of the Ombudsman, which go into paragraph 5.2.1, there are only two complaints, and the Ombudsman didn't find any grounds for maladministration. I'm happy to take any questions.
Hi. Councillors, any questions on that at all? Yes, Councillor Bardosi.
Chair, on page 17, 5.1.2, it says it's not currently possible to obtain an accurate figure as to number of stage one complaints, but would it nonetheless be possible to have some sort of an idea of numbers if there was a focal collection point in some way. And secondly, it talks about stage 1, 2, and 3, and I was just wondering, and maybe this is already incorporated into our complaint system, but do we do things like acknowledge complaints within 24 hours so that residents know the complaint has gone where it should have done, somebody is dealing with it, and is it possible to say stage 2 complaint will be you'll receive a response within 5 working days, or stage 3 between by 15 days or whatever, so that people are left hanging for days and weeks or whatever.
Okay, thanks very much. Who'd like to deal with that? Andrew? Ian?
I believe we do have that information on the website as to the standards by which we will respond to stage 2. We introduced a new complaints procedure. This will be the second year running it now, which made us able to collect information on stage 2. So previous to that, we weren't able to tell you how many formal complaints we'd received at that stage. Now we can. So you'll see in this report the number of stage 2 complaints received in the last year. Next year we'll be able to compare that, so we'll be able to start building up a picture of how many formal complaints we get year on year. So we've always had the stage 3, now we're able to move on to the information on stage 2, which is the formal complaint. And yes, there is a procedure on the website which tells you how to make that complaint and the timescales in which we'll respond to you.
But how about Councillor Pardes's point about stage 1? Is there some way we can collate data about stage 1?
So
because there could be a whole number of complaints which may be a stage 1 complaint, but then that's resolved before you even get to stage 2.
I mean, all councils tend to deal with this quite differently in how you actually define what consists of a complaint or not. So although we call it stage 1 complaint, it could consist of things that aren't really complaints, they're just a concern that maybe the service hasn't been delivered, or has it been delivered. So some of them are queries, comments or complaints. So at that stage, what I refer to is the operational response. So if you've got concern about a council service, at stage 1 you should be able to go directly to the operational service, people who actually carry out that service rather than the senior managers, and say, I've got a concern whether this was delivered properly, can you look into it and address it? And without a formal process, our operational services should be able to just respond to that and either deal with the response, yes, you're right, it's dealt with, or explain why it's happened. So we don't formalise that too much, because we want the flexibility that we can actually deal with them at operational level. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you've got stage 2 if that response was not good enough.
Are you happy with that, Councillor?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, that's fine. So. Oh, sorry, yes. Councillor James.
5.4.3.
That's on page 19. Is it?
Should it not be that the Ombudsman did not find that the council?
That's true. Yes.
Quite right. Thank you very much. All right. That just proves I did read.
Yeah. Well, it proves you read that page, Councillor, possibly.
It should be not.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Well done. I mean, I people used to say that was a deliberate mistake we put in to see how many people were.
Yeah.
Always said that to a class of people. Yeah. Okay. Any other points on that? We've got the appendices as well. So there we, that's page 24, no other comments on that, right? So then we come on to 7D, which is business planning report. And this is the wonderful framing exercise that Andrew does every year to let the council know the immense amount of work we've done over the year as a scrutiny committee. It sounds a bit like Yes Minister in a sense, doesn't it? So, but anyway, it's all there, beautifully presented. And it will be presented to council in August July, right. And it's usually rubber stamped, isn't it? All the schools do that. Any comments on that, members? I think
he's done a wonderful job, Mr. Chairman.
He always does a wonderful job, does Andrew, on that. Right, and then we go on to the work programme. Now, this is, I'd like to draw your attention actually to page 29, section 5, paragraph 5.1. And the idea is we want to develop a work programme that is owned, and this is the important thing, owned by all members of the scrutiny committee. So I think every member of the scrutiny committee should be able to make a suggestion as to what should be on the agenda, what they would like to see scrutinised, any of the council business, which is in our remit, to see if they would like to have that scrutinised and make a, you know, make a case for it so that we can actually add it to the agenda of future meetings. So please bear that in mind, that this agenda, it shouldn't be done to you, it should actually be done by us all. So that, you know, anyone who's got concerns or feels that there ought to be a bit of an investigation or some sort of inquiry or some scrutiny of an aspect of council's work within our remit, please let us know, let the officers know, let me know if necessary, so that, you know, we can try and incorporate it into future meetings. Please don't feel that you're in any way excluded from putting things onto the agenda. You really are not. So I put that to everybody, and please take us up on it. So then we come on to the various the various things going on. Now, I should say the 17th of August, I understand that will be the date when Freedom Leisure are going to present their much-awaited annual report, which is rather more than an annual report this time, but that will be on 17th of August. Now, can I get confirmation for that from Oxford?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We received a draft of the report, which will be looked at by the contract services meeting that we held on the 22nd of June. So we'll be able to comment on what, or ask for more information at that point. And then we do intend to bring the report through to you on the 17th, and that's for a representative of Freedom Leisure to be here to answer any questions.
Right. Now, that's quite an important thing, because what we've done in the past is when we have a guest and we're scrutinising, you know, an organisation, either an outside organisation or one which is linked to us in some way, we've had a prior meeting. Could be on the same day, of course, but it's prior to the main meeting, whereby we could go, by that time we should have read the report, because we'll get the report several days beforehand, and we should then be able to organise our questions. Because the important thing, what we don't want is to go off in all directions, you know, when the person's in the room, because that actually can actually let them off the hook. It's much better if we can get our act together to begin with in terms of who's asking which question when, so we have a sequence of questions, and then we've got that all set up, so that when we actually meet the person who's coming, whose organisation we're scrutinising, it's much more logical, it's coherent, and we're more likely, I think, therefore, to get the best out of the session.
Can I suggest, therefore, that we have a pre-meeting at 1800, which will give us half an hour to do that?
I think that's an excellent suggestion, Councillor. Yep. So we would therefore meet at 1800. Okay, so therefore we've sorted that out. Obviously there could well be additions which we put onto the agenda, not least because you may have some ideas of something that ought to go on the agenda which we ought to be scrutinising. But things crop up anyway during the period, so there'll be other stuff coming in. That's the bare bones of it. And of course there'll also be the task and finish review, the one we always do, the review of the constitution. That'll be a separate set of meetings for us on that task and finish review, which then reports back to this committee, which then rubber stamps it, as we did last year. Last municipal year, yeah.
Councillor Smith. The Freedom Leisure Report, by all means, you know, it's on our agenda because it's a contract. Strictly speaking, all we're interested in is their financial control of it. So it would be sensible to invite members of the community scrutiny as well to that meeting.
I see no reason why that shouldn't happen. Yes, I mean, that could be. Robert, you were you going to say
something additional to
okay. I mean, I see no reason. Would you all be in favour of that, members? I see no reason why we shouldn't. In fact, I was almost thinking at one point, should there be, I know it's difficult with space, because there could be members who are interested in the Freedom Leisure Report who aren't on either of those committees. You know, and under normal circumstances, we could actually put out an invitation to all members of the council. We've done that before, to come and hear it.
I think the service is community related, but it's within resources because it's a contract.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. We all agree to that. So we'll have a joint meeting. But of course, the person from Freedom Leisure will be number one on the agenda. So presumably all the other committee members will be pleased to leave and have the rest of their evening while we're stuck here with the rest of the agenda. So there shouldn't be any problem about them becoming our committee. Yeah. Councillor Nixon, then Councillor Kemp.
Yeah, I must object to
what I said. Councillor Nixon and then Councillor Kemp.
Well, I'll allow the young man to speak first.
I was just going to say, could we test the technology and could we invite the wider, the whole council to attend the meeting virtually and then ask ourselves as a community attend it in person?
You mean they do it by Zoom?
Yeah.
That'd be a good idea. Could someone ask IT about that and see if they could do it? That's a good idea. I mean, they do it in the House of Commons, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And select committees. So, yeah. Councillor Kemp.
Yes, you get me to sub on this committee for Councillor Godfrey. And then you turn around and tell me when I'm interested in the leisure facilities that I can't attend the meeting. Because you've only said this committee and the community committee. But what your
Councillor Nixon to you
is yes, all let's make it for all the council, and those of us who can't or don't want to come in could join in on Zoom.
Hmm. I think that's a good suggestion,
yeah.
Actually, because then that gets around the space thing, you know. I mean, I don't think you even do this. I mean, there may be those. I mean, I know you're all here, but there are some people from this committee who couldn't make it for one reason or another, and I wonder if they could actually join us via Zoom as well. I would think about Councillor Dodson.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in fact. Perhaps we ought to try that anyhow. We ought to say that we have a meeting, but then for those for whatever reason can't make it, we respect that and let them join in via Zoom. I mean, that really is inclusivity, isn't it? Yes, Councillor Smith.
Yeah, that's one of the questions that the government is asking. Should we have hybrid meetings?
Mm-hmm.
And our response is yes.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. So, yeah. Great idea. So let's look into that. And will you be minuting that? So it reminds me that's been brought up. Yes. Councillor Brown.
I believe Robert wanted to say.
Oh, right. Sorry, Robert.
Chairman, I just need to express some caution to you and to the committee that when we consider the report on Freedom Leisure, you were party to a confidential meeting on financial support to. You just need to be very careful, and officers may have to ask you to desist with your line of inquiry. It is likely that confidential information will be revealed in the meeting. So I'm just expressing the caution at this point when we are dealing with financial information.
I'm just wondering what that means, Sir Robert. If somebody wished to have confidential information divulged, or was on the point of divulging some confidential information, would we then have to go into a confidential session, which would mean the removal of press and public? So we could then do that, and it may be that that warning could be placed on the papers around that, so councillors are reminded that there could be some things which are confidential.
I prefer to my learned friend Ian Cullen to advise the committee on that.
In essence, scrutiny has already considered that part our dealings with the. So what you will consider at the next scrutiny is the annual review, which won't be a confidential report. The scrutiny will be looking at what's within that annual report. So there shouldn't be anything confidential in that, but yes, if members do start remembering what was in the confidential and start using that as a line in the inquiry, we will have to stop that.
Probably most members have probably forgotten what was in the confidential.
Well, the point, Chairman, is that what was in the confidential was confidential to us, and Freedom shouldn't know it. That's the point.
That's true.
We would help them, but we didn't say how much.
Right. So I mean, it may well be that there ought to be some sort of appendix or note or something for us just to remind everybody of that. And that will be not just for this committee, but for community as well. Community committees, if they're going to be coming in.
Chairman, I just prefer to keep it as the annual report, because we've already dealt with the other matters.
Mm.
So it should be the annual report important to you, but just with that reminder comment may have to be said if your line of inquiry is strained.
I think that's a good point, well made, and we need to make sure that members are reminded of that, you know, in a written form, so, because otherwise somebody will forget, and they'll say something, and you know, and it'll be like a Bateman cartoon, you know. So, okay, so we're all happy with that. My computer stopped working. That's it. I think members, unless I'm very much mistaken, would conclude our business. That's the last of it. So thank you very much indeed for coming along this evening, braving the germs and braving the traffic and all the rest of it, and having to dress up and so on, which I haven't had done for about over a year. It was terrible kind of...
coming in the gardening.
Oh yeah, well I wish I could have. But I mean, that's a good thing about Zoom, isn't it? You only have to dress to the waist, really.
Sit down with you.